The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You, and I'm your host, Rebecca Miller. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Services for the Aging, Project Independence. Today, my co-host is Otto Lohs.
Good morning.
Otto is a Project Independence member from the very beginning, a true PI original.
Whoa.
So welcome, Otto.
Thank you very much.
You're familiar here? Oh, it's great to have you here. Project Independence, as you know, is an aging-in-place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who want to remain in their own homes as they age. Services include transportation for food shopping and medical visits, very important. Help at home with minor home maintenance, nursing, and social work services, fitness classes, community education, information, and referral. Anything that's needed. If we don't currently provide the service, we will try and connect you to that service. By calling 311 or 869-6311, you can get all the information needed and also request services. One of the programs of Project Independence is this weekly radio show, heard every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to noon here on WCWP.org. Today's show promises to be a very special one. We have Hal Bach with us today, who is a sports writer and columnist for over 40 years at the Associated Press. And later we'll be speaking with Dr. Maria Carney. She is chief at North Shore LAJ Division of Geriatric and Palliative Medicine. So we really have an interesting show today. We've got sports and we've got medicine. Sometimes they go together. Today, they're different segments. Hal, welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to Project Independence and You. I think I was telling you a little bit earlier that when I told some family and friends that I had you on the show, we were going to be talking to you, Otto and I, my phone has not stopped with questions, all sports related. So I will defer to those questions eventually, and Otto, too, I know, has a whole bunch of questions and things he'd like to talk to you about. Your career is unbelievable. Town of North Hempstead really has a treasure chest of residents here, and Hal, you are definitely one of them.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're a sports writer and columnist for 40 years. You were at the Associated Press. You've covered 11 Olympics, 30 World Series, 30 Super Bowls, and lots of other sports assignments, boxing, and I just was reading your bio, and it's just pretty impressive. So I want to kind of start just at the beginning to see what drove you, maybe what came first. Was it the interest in sports, or was it the interest in journalism that brought you to this field?
They came pretty much at the same moment.
Okay.
Otto and I were talking earlier about the Polo Grounds, and the first, that was the home of the New York Giants, a team that no longer exists.
No, they do, but we don't acknowledge
not New York.
I don't acknowledge them. At any rate, my father took me to a baseball game, my first baseball game when I was about 8 years old, and he took me to the Polo Grounds. And when you're 8 years old and you walk into a ballpark, I mean, you look around, you don't know where to look first. I mean, mm-hmm. It's the biggest structure you've ever been in. And I looked around, and my eye caught this structure hanging off the second deck. And I asked my dad what that was. And he said, "Oh, it's the press box." And he said, "That's where the writers sit." And I said, "They come here every day?" He said, "Yeah, that's their job. They come here. They write about the baseball game." And I thought, "Oh, that's their job?" 8 years old, I found my career. So that's how you asked me about journalism and sports. They came together at the same moment.
Well, that's incredible. 8 years old, and you looked at the field, and you said you're going to write. You're going to cover.
Absolutely. If I can get in here free every day, that's my job. I want that.
Do you remember much about the game? Do you remember who played?
Yes. It was the Mayor's Trophy game, and the Giants played the Yankees. That was a charity game that they had every year.
Right.
Giants played the Yankees. My father was a Giants fan, so I rooted for the Giants because you do what your father says. And at least you did in those days. And I remember vividly seeing Joe DiMaggio rattle a double off the left field wall at the Polo Grounds, which was the deciding hit in this game. And I thought that was, you know, it was a terrific moment. It was an exciting night. It was an evening, exciting evening for a kid 8 years old to be at his first baseball game.
I saw the Giants play with Mel Ott. Mm-hmm. Remember Mel Ott?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah. He managed the team.
Yeah, and he was a very unique individual as far as his hitting style goes.
Yeah, he lifted his leg.
Right, way up in the air.
Yeah.
Left-handed. We could probably talk. This isn't the fan, though, so we probably could talk sports all day.
All right, so maybe I'll interject there with a question from left field.
There you go. I have a few of those, too. But
I think New York is probably home to the most exciting sports teams in the country, maybe the world. What are some of the most memorable games that you've been at?
I've been very fortunate in my career to be at some memorable games. The one that sticks out in my mind all the time was in the sixth game of the World Series in 1977. When Reggie Jackson hit three home runs on three consecutive pitches. I couldn't believe it. Talk about being locked in. Excuse me. The other most memorable event that I was at, the Olympics in Lake Placid in 1980, and I was at the Miracle on Ice when the United States defeated the Soviet Union, and that was a... That was a landmark moment. You know, you don't remember, you don't forget moments like that.
You know, even when you watch that on television, it was a memorable moment.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It had to be something else in person.
Oh, amazing. Because here we are in this little map dot town, Lake Placid, and everybody spilled into the streets. And it was like, I remember VE Day when the war was over. It was very similar to that. People in the streets cheering and laughing and celebrating. It was a magic moment.
I know that they made a movie about that moment, too.
Yes, they did.
That was going to be another question I wanted to ask you, because I'm although I like sports and I like to go to a good Subway Series game, I have Otto here for the real sports questions. Favorite sports movie, Hal?
Wow.
Are we talking Field of Dreams?
No.
Sandlot?
No. Field of Dreams was on TV the other night. Field of Dreams is a terrific movie. For me, Bang the Drum Slowly, because it just brings a tear to your eye. Robert De Niro is a kid catcher with a terminal disease, and how it was dealt with. I thought it was an excellent movie.
Okay.
I thought the you didn't ask me the question, but
Otto, how about you?
An answer anyhow.
What's your favorite sports movie?
We talked about offline about 42.
Yes.
You know, Jackie Robinson.
Oh, yes.
I thought that was very well done and really told the story of what a rugged journey it was for him to accomplish what he did. You know, that was a major breakthrough in the history of sports and the world, frankly.
No question.
Yeah.
Right.
No question.
I have to tell you, a mother of two boys, one almost is no longer a teenager. He'll be 20 very soon. And I think I had the most enjoyment watching them watch Sandlot. That movie was just wonderful, which is a group of kids who, kind of destroy one of the parents' signed autographed Babe Ruth baseballs and kind of their journey to figure out how to replace it and how they come upon doing it. And it was really a wonderful movie. So that was, no one asked me, but since it was my question, I thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, you're into a conversation.
That's a good one. So, Hal, you've covered 11 Olympics.
Yes.
Do you get to interview any of the medal winners?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I mean, covering the Olympics is not a walk in the park. I mean, because you're dealing with athletes from all over the world, many of whom don't speak English. they have what they call a mixed zone where the athletes intermingle with the press. And that's where you get your interviews. But it's a difficult assignment. The Olympics is probably the most difficult assignment because you're in another, you're in a completely different environment. I mean, I can go to the ballpark, sit in the press box, and I feel like I'm at home.
Right.
But you're working in Barcelona. You're working in France. You're working in Calgary. You're all over the South Korea. South Korea, the you looked around and there were machine guns everywhere. I mean, it's a scary environment.
Right.
I would think, too, that like my vision of the Olympics, which I've never been to, is that is multiple locations involved.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like going to a ballpark for a game. You
no.
have ballparks all over the place.
No, there are different venues for different sports, and they're not always near one another.
Right.
So it's a very trying assignment.
Right.
But it's a glamorous assignment, and you want to be where the action is, you know.
How did you select where you wanted to go as far as which venue?
Oh, you mean at the individual Olympics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in a position where I could.
Right.
I could. And you look to see where the glamour event was on any given day.
Right.
Sometimes you're at the pool. Sometimes you're at the gymnastics. Sometimes you're at the basketball. And that's a good thing. I mean, I like that. I like the variety. It's a trying assignment. It's a very difficult assignment.
Interesting. Yes. So what about favorite stadiums? Let's start in New York.
Favorite stadiums? Well, talking to Otto earlier, I grew up in the Polo Grounds. I loved the Polo Grounds. I mean, it was a strange ballpark built as an oval. But, you know, your first ballpark, it's like your first love. You know, it's a special place in your heart.
Well, I'm sorry, but the Polo Grounds is really, really unique, was unique, in that it had like a 230-foot left field.
54, something like that.
It was very short, right down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But then it went out, like out to almost 450, 500 feet out in center field, which is where Willie Mays made a great catch.
Fantastic catch.
Right.
I remember talking when Bob Lemon, the late Bob Lemon, was manager of the Yankees. He talked about the 1954 World Series when he pitched for Cleveland. Now, we're talking about 20 years later, maybe almost 25 years later, and he still was angry because he got beat on a home run that was like a pop fly. The second baseman went back looking to catch the ball, and it hit the right field pavilion, and it's a home run. And he said he hit the ball 250 feet. How can that be a home run? So he was still angry about that 25 years later.
That's how I felt as a Brooklyn Dodger fan when Bobby Thompson...
Well, that was a line drive. Now, come on. That was a line drive.
It was about 230 feet.
No.
Hal, about a minute and a half, we're going to be taking a break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your, I'm going to say retirement, but 13 books and another one due out very soon. Doesn't sound exactly like retirement. So I think retirement has a different meaning today. I know a lot of people who are retired, for which we've even had several retirement parties, but it just doesn't seem that people today are really retiring. You know, Project Independence, this radio show, is a program that revolves around aging in place. And that means that, you know, the goal is that if you want to stay in your home that you've been in and, you know, helped create these communities, that you should. And Project Independence has a lot of services that we provide. Sometimes it's just to know that we're there, transportation, nursing service, maintenance. We do some activities. We have this wonderful radio program with LIU and some other things. So right now we are going to go to that break. We've been talking with Hal Bach and Otto Loos as our co-host, and we will be back shortly.